genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests has an interesting topic, no two of which are alike. My first guest is a childhood star who played Ernie Douglas on My Three Sons. We'll discuss the life lessons he's learned and what he calls the importance of being Ernie from his latest book of the same name. My second guest is a maverick who burst onto the scene several years ago with a manifesto for changing conventional wisdom and showcasing the power of business at its best. He goes radical in his business thinking in his latest book, Practically Radical. We'll discuss his business paradigms and that can transform your company, shake up your industry, and even challenge yourself. My third guest is an investment advisor with over 20 years' experience. He's a value-oriented, contrarian investor. His mutual fund Encompass is the number two ranked mutual fund by the Morningstar overall among the mutual funds that Morningstar tracks. We'll talk about the volatility in today's market and the risk government actions pose to the financial markets. And if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. Barry Livingston was 4 years old when he was cast as Paul Newman's son in the film Rally Round the Flag, Boys. Unfortunately, he was fired after production began because his eyes developed astigmatism, which required him to wear glasses. His newborn horn-rimmed glasses became his trademark and established him as the new type of child actor, a prototype with big glasses, buck teeth, and unruly hair. After a recurring role in The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, Barry found huge national fame when he was cast as Ernie Douglas for 8 years on the TV series My Three Sons, which ran a phenomenal 12 years. After Sons was canceled, Barry went on to New York, onto Broadway, and did a production of By the Skin of Our Teeth, directed by Jose Quintero, and other stage roles followed. After establishing himself as a stage actor, Barry continued to work on TV, appearing in such classics as Room 222, The Streets of San Francisco, and Ironsides in the 1970s, Simon & Simon, Heart to Heart, and Doogie Howser, M.D. in the 80s, The Nanny, Ally McBeal, Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman in the 90s. Picking up in the new millennium, Barry also starred in a variety of shows, most notably the Emmy-winning series Mad Men. Most recently, Barry worked on the Academy Award-winning film The Social Network. Joining us from Southern California, how are you today, Barry?
I'm terrific. That sounds really nice. Well, a long career.
It is a long career. You started at age 4. I guess one of the more interesting things that I found about your career, by the time you were actually doing My Three Sons, you were aged 9 approximately. You were already halfway to your seniority and to your pension as the Screen Actors Guild at the age of 9. That's incredible. But
I was already making retirement plans. Yeah, I think I already had a space laid out, at Leisure World. And I would have probably been 15 when I finally could have qualified. So, yeah, it's one of those quirks that starting young in show business. It's an interesting place to be, and I thank God I'm finally vested in my pension plan.
Well, there you go. That's got to be a relief, a load off of your mind, indeed. Well, now, Barry, most of us, we grow up in relative obscurity and so forth, but you literally spent your childhood years growing up in front of America. What was it like having the TV viewing public watch you growing up, and how did you separate and balance your public life from your private life?
it was difficult, you know. I mean, because you do put out a persona of who you are on TV, and then you have your real life, and sometimes there's similarities, but then, you know, there's some differences, and particularly in the 60s. The 60s was such a radical change, you know, in the culture. And anyway, you know, My Three Sons began in the 50s, really, and by the time it ended, it was the 70s. So, you know, My Three Sons presented a very wholesome, very kind of, you know, average middle American family. But, of course, I was living on the West Coast, and things were very influenced by the San Francisco psychedelia, the Beatles, and, you know, that contradiction between those two images after a while became a little bit troubling to me, you know, because I did want to be doing what my peers were doing. And, of course, the world of My Three Sons had me, you know, distraught over my bicycle, you know, broke, or, you know, couldn't get a date to the big prom or something. So, you know, in that sense, it was interesting for me to have to deal with those two different warring images of myself, because, you know, My Three Sons was a very, you know, 30 million people a week would watch it.
30 million people. Wow.
Yeah.
That's an awesome number. Well, I mean, the follow-on question to that is, you know, why do some child stars, and Gary Coleman comes to mind when I think about this, why do some child stars lose everything? I mean, their money, their reputation, in some cases, even their lives.
Well, you know, I mean, you'd have to say your parents and the people that are looking out for you have to be careful, and, you know, they have to have your best interest at heart. Maybe, you know, even Gary Coleman's family thought they did have his best interest at heart. I've never met him, so it's not fair to look at that from afar and make a judgment. I just know in my case, my parents were very insistent that I go back to school, that I have as normal of a life as possible, that I can truly connect with my generation, my peers. And I didn't work at all during the time that I was on My Three Sons, other than doing Sons. So, you know, that part of it is important. You know, it some of it is just who you are as a person, and it's that mysterious, you know, energy inside of it, to get all mystical and cosmic, but people are formed, you know, your drives in life, and how far you go is sometimes determined by, you know, more than just what your parents and the environment that you grow up in. I was very fixated on, you know, becoming an actor and succeeding at that, but I was able to deal with the rejection. You know, that's the biggest thing. Child actors, after your fame is gone, it's very hard to deal with not being famous anymore and a lot of rejection. And that made me kind of, I don't know, made me stubborn. You know, I felt like I had something to give, and I proceeded to try to develop my talent as best I could.
Well, and you did, and you went on, and you made a dramatic right turn in your career, because you moved from television to Broadway after being a child actor and some of those child roles dried up. You made that big right turn onto Broadway. I mean, that's quite a jump. So tell me the story about how your life changed since Ernie Douglas, and why moving to Broadway really reversed sort of a downward trend in your life and opened up new doors for you, both career-wise and, I think, personally, too.
You know, you're separated from everything you knew, and that's always a good thing, particularly when you're young. You know, it was my going off to college year, you know, and in my case, it was the University of Broadway, the University of Theater, and that's you know, that's just a great thing. You're exposed to all kinds of new people and new experiences, and took me out of my comfort zone of what I'd been doing for, you know, virtually the 15, 20 years before that. That was just, you know, working in TV. So that was all critical, I think, for me, just as a person, to know that I could succeed outside of an environment that I'd grown comfortable in. And that, frankly, when I got back after working on Broadway, television parts dried up for a while. So, you know, but I guess maybe it was a good thing and a bad thing, because I, you know, I did have the skills at that point that I'd developed to be able to do theater. So when I wasn't hireable necessarily for television, you know, I did go off and I worked around the country in regional theater and dinner theater. I grew as a person, you know, just through meeting people and seeing the world a little bit. That all, I think, enriched me as a human being, and that usually is the foundation for your ability to work as an actor, too.
Oh, without a doubt, Barry. Now, I'm going to ask you to decide amongst your children which you like better, acting on Broadway or acting on TV, because they are radically different, aren't they?
Yeah, they're radically different. It's, you know, they're worlds apart, really. You know, you're you're just having to, function in different ways that you never thought you would have to.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So no one is better than the other. They're just different, and you have to recognize them as such. My guest is Barry Livingston, author of the new book, The Importance of Being Ernie, From My Three Sons to Mad Men, A Hollywood Survivor Tells All. And Barry, I'm just going to shotgun some names at you and get your top-of-mind reaction to some of the very many people that you have starred with in your career. And the first one, of course, has to be Fred McMurray. What was it like working with Fred McMurray? And I'd heard or read somewhere along the line that at this point in his career, he was more focused on family, didn't spend a lot of time on the set. How was working with Fred McMurray?
Well, he was, number one, he was a very, very great guy. I mean, he was non-glamour oriented movie star, and that probably was a good role model for all of us. He wasn't very fixated on being famous. That said, he had a sweet deal. He came into My Three Sons, with the promise from the producers that they would focus only on his scenes, and they shot everything that he was in first, and everything in all 30, 40 scripts that we do, and his close-ups. And then he would leave, because he did want to be with his family, and he really didn't want to be on a movie set in Tangier somewhere or working till 11 o'clock at night every night. So his deal had him coming and going, pretty much 9 to 5. He'd do that for about 4, 8 weeks maybe, I guess. And then he would leave, and then the rest of us would try to do all the scenes that he wasn't in, and close-ups would be done, our matching close-ups to his, and scenes that would be shot 6 months earlier would be shot with a script girl reading off stage. So, but he was a great guy. Bottom line, I really enjoyed working with him. He was a very decent guy, terrific man.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Now, a couple of other people that came out of I Love Lucy fame, William Frawley, who started out as the uncle on My Three Sons. What was it like working with Bill Frawley?
Well, pretty much what you saw is what you got. He was a real gruff, kind of tough guy on the exterior. He loved kids, though. I think he could be pretty abrupt with an adult. He didn't have a lot of patience. With kids, for some reason, he really enjoyed being around kids. We enjoyed being around him, mainly because the guy could swear like nobody I've ever heard in my life. And as a kid, to hear, an old guy let loose with a string of expletives, you'd be lying on the floor laughing after a while. And he sort of accentuated his crustier aspects of his personality for us, knowing, it'd get a laugh. But he was a terrific guy, too. I really enjoyed working with him a lot.
And a little bit of a prankster, too. Didn't he tell you or incite you to pull a prank on then his co-star in I Love Lucy, Vivian Vance? What was that all about?
Well, they originally worked together, Frawley and Vance, on I Love Lucy, and they didn't like each other. There's probably a backstory to that, but this now, fast forward to a few years, Frawley is on My Three Sons, Vivian Vance is still working with Lucy, but I think they were doing the Here's Lucy show at that point.
Uh-huh.
And he knew we were working on sound stages that were right side by side. So we'd go to lunch, Bill would always have a couple drinks, and he'd feel no pain, and he'd say, okay, today's the day, guys. And we had amassed this whole... 10, 20, these giant film cans, metal circular film cans. And so he goes, now we're going to go, we're going to go get Vivian. So we'd go to her stage where she was working. He'd hold open the door. We'd sit there, stand outside listening. And as soon as he heard Vivian's voice, because they were in there probably recording something or rehearsing, but he'd go, okay, throw them. And then we'd frisbee these giant film cans inside the sound stage. And when they hit, it just sounded like a bomb going off. And so, he got a huge laugh out of that. And he'd go, come on, let's get the hell out of here, And he'd hold up at our stage door, and, we'd all run away. So, he was a prankster, all right.
My guest is Barry Livingston, reliving some of his early career in Hollywood. Now, I found it interesting on the show, Barry, that you actually starred with your brother as your brother on the show. Talk to us about that.
Well, we had actually on the Ozzie and Harriet show prior to that had worked together. In fact, Rally Round the Flag Boys, my first film where I got fired, we were playing brothers. So, it wasn't the first time we had done that, strangely enough. I don't know how often that's happened. But Stan was on My Three Sons before me, and then I came on as the friend next door. Personally, it was great. I loved my brother. It was my big brother. It was my hero. I got to spend more time with him, so it was great. And I think amazingly, we're still great friends today because we shared so much time together. We shared a bedroom at home. We drove to work together. We had our meals together. We had a shared dressing room because the company was pretty cheap and wouldn't give us our own dressing rooms. We drove home every night. We were very close, abnormally close, and it was great. And, like I say, we're still very close today.
Wow, that is a wonderful thing. My guest is Barry Livingston. We're actually talking around his book, The Importance of Being Ernie, which I think is great. Let me just fire a couple more names at you. You mentioned Ozzie Nelson. You were on Ozzie and Harriet. That's really where you and your brother got their start on television. What was it like working with Ozzie Nelson? Because he was reputed to be sort of the quintessential model of an executive in TV world.
Well, he really did set us, the standard for one of the first TV auteurs, because he not only starred in the show, he wrote just about every episode, directed just about every episode, and produced the show. So, and he was just a family man, and that was what it was like working on that show, because it was his sons were on the show, his wife was on the show. It was a very family-oriented environment, more so than any other production I've ever been in, and he was a very patient teacher. I think Ozzie, more than anybody, probably taught me the basics of acting, which is pretty much, it's the Spencer Tracy mode. You plant your feet, you look at the other person in the eye, you listen what they're having to say very carefully, and then you answer them with your lines. And if you can do that, trust me, that's one of the keys. It sounds easy. It's not as easy as it sounds, and some people really master that skill, but it's essential in good acting. That was his lesson to us. He was a great teacher and really a fun guy to be around.
Well, you make it sound so simple, but of course it's never that easy. I'm looking a little bit more contemporary. You've also worked with Adam Sandler on his movie Zohan. What was it like working with Adam?
Well, Adam was the best. I mean, I have to say, of all the recent stars that I've had the opportunity to work with, and there have been some great people I've worked with, Brad Pitt and Robert Downey Jr. and Katie Holmes, but I'd say Adam, again, creates a real family environment. It's all of his friends that he grew up with, and he's given everybody a job in his company, and his company, Happy Madison, is a very successful film company. And he just takes care of everybody, And I met him once on the lot. I had just done a small part in a film called Dickie Roberts, which was about, child star. And anyway, I ran into him, and I said, "Oh, Adam, nice to meet you, Barry. I'm a big fan." And I said, "I'd love to be in one of your movies sometime." Goes, "Oh, yeah, sure, I'll put you in one of my movies. Yeah, no problem. Sure, I love that. Oh, my three sons." So, for the next 3, 4, 5 years, I would get auditions, out of the blue. We'd just like, come down, read for this part. I would meet with the casting director. Eventually, You Don't Mess With the Zohan. I came in again, read with the casting person, and they said, "We want you to come down to the table read. Can you do that? You haven't got the part yet. Can you come down?" And I was like, "Well, boy, yeah, sure, of course." At that meeting, I feel a tap on my shoulder, turn around, it's Adam, and Adam goes, see, "I told you I'd get your part. I told you I'd get something good." It was like, you get choked up. You go, man, 5 years later, one little brief meeting on the Sony studios, and the guy remembered, and he remembered, all those years, and it wound up working. And so, nothing but great things to say about Adam. He's a terrific guy.
That is great, and that just helps to solidify his reputation. My guest is Barry Livingston. He's the author of the book, The Importance of Being Ernie, and as we just found out, he's a pretty good Adam Sandler impersonator as well. Barry, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, The Importance of Being Ernie, From My Three Sons to Mad Men, A Hollywood Survivor Tells All, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, I'd say, I have a website, theimportanceofbeingernie.com. It's all one word, theimportanceofbeingernie.com. That'll take you to my website that I created. There's a couple excerpts from the book, from a couple chapters of about an Elvis, a ride with Elvis in a limo that I had, which is kind of an interesting story. How I got cast in My Three Sons, the day that I went in and read for the producers. And it's got videos of things that I've done today, from yesterday, photos. So it'll give you a big overview of what the book is, what I tried to do with the book, and what I feel turned out really well. I'm thrilled. I see a lot of reaction to it on my Facebook page, and people seem to be very, very impressed. It's a funny read. I mean, I try to, I have a pretty good perspective on where I started, and where I came from, and where I am now, and it's tempered with a lot of wry personal experience. So I hope people will check it out.
Well, I'll second that. It's a good read. The book is The Importance of Being Ernie, From My Three Sons to Madman, A Hollywood Survivor Tells All. Barry, it's been delightful. I can't believe how quickly the time has gone, but it has. We'll have to talk to you down the road.
Okay, appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Take care now.